This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, John Gabrus from the South Shore. Standing 6'2", 303 pounds from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island. It's John Gabrus. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson, Maine, abortion is healthcare. Fuck yeah. Who abandoned Snoopy in the vestibule? Oh, Leonard Bernstein is here. Any other Bradley Cooper characters lying around? Please don't do any of your slur lines from The Hangover. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is deaf. Didn't hear any of that. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, he's been on the pod before. You know him from the 420 episodes. You know him from stand-up. You know him from fucking weed. You know him from podcasts. You know him from comedy. Hell of a hockey goalie, too. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mike Glazer.
Dude.
Hello. Hello.
It's so good. It's so good every time, man.
It is so stupid that I still do it, and I just can't stop. Every time I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, you should tweak this and change it a little. And every time I'm like, forget about it right until I'm ripping through it. I'm like, oh, I've been meaning to change this a little.
Did you see Maestro?
I did.
How is it?
I liked it a lot. I don't think it's like, obviously, I agree with the Academy that it wasn't the best movie of the year or best directed or best acted, but I really enjoyed it. People are on Bradley Cooper for trying really hard. Like, if I support a sports team, I want them to try to win the Super Bowl, you know? Like,
yeah.
And he's not trying to win an Oscar with like a very Oscar baity movie. He's trying really hard with something that means something to him, even if it does like push him to the degree of like turning viewers off. I'm okay with all that because he tried really fucking hard, and it's just nice that someone will put their entire fucking heart into something like that.
Exactly. And I don't know. I feel like it's one of those times when I can actually get behind method acting a little bit. I can get behind a little bit of like, I'm going to absorb myself, not only in this human being, but the passion I've always had for this. Like that's like one of the asterisks for me of method acting.
Yeah.
Being that kind of actor. I'm all about it.
I'm in agreement. I don't even fucking like hate method acting. I mean, I like when people hate method act. I love when other actors are like, he's walking around the set with a fucking rat in the back. Fuck him. You know, like I like when people are anti that. Like when really good actors like Brian Cox is like shitting like Jeremy Strong is storming around set all upset. You don't need to do all that. Like I love shit like that. But I also like people who try really hard and care too much about the art. Like that interests me. And if they're good, obviously it all falls apart if it's Jared Leto as the Joker in Suicide Squad putting fucking like dead animals in his co-stars trailers and shit to be like, I'm the Joker. Like that's that I don't give a fuck about.
No, but
what
also
if it's like Daniel Day-Lewis only like wears a contact so he can actually tap the knife to his eye and like learn that I'm fucking game
into that. Also, when Daniel Day-Lewis hid dead animals in everybody's lockers as Abraham Lincoln, we were okay with that. So.
It made a lot of sense. You know, he's channeling Big Abe, dude. He's honest, dude. He's got to do so his honesty thing.
Has there ever, I don't know, like we were talking about it the other day. I don't know any female famous method actors. Like, I don't know if they'd even be allowed to get away with it the way that Jared Leto seemingly Austin Butler seemingly is allowed to.
If there was one, they've probably been drummed out of the industry. You know, they've probably been like, she's actually difficult. You know, like that's the word that they throw around. It's like Jared Leto, not difficult at all. Yeah, I don't know. He seems pretty fucking difficult. And for not the payoff. Like
exactly.
And no offense, exactly. Leto, of course, if you want to do the pod, I'd gladly have you, bud.
Yeah, explain yourself,
buddy,
Jared.
You're
get
my
on
best
here.
Friend.
Well, I hope I didn't just ruin your chances of having the guy from, what's it called? My So-Called Life?
My So-Called Life. Well, here's the thing. You have a comedy special that's out now. That's pretty fucking crazy. A little piece of art out in the world, fucking fully method, living full method as a comedian.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people listening to this are like, is he funny? But I'm really, I'm in it, dude.
It doesn't matter.
Committed.
You're fully, I'm method as a comedian. That means, it doesn't mean you're necessarily funny. You're just living life as a comedian.
Exactly, dude. Look at my notebooks. You think I'm not playing to win? Come on, man.
This dude's here. He's holding... Not Moleskine's, dude. He's holding up classic black and white marble fucking composition books. That's how you know he means the business.
Exactly. Well, actually, one of them is my sad boy journal. Another one is my dream journal.
Okay. So no comedy whatsoever. All right, got it.
No comedy at all.
This one's where I just draw lewd drawings of friends. You're like, oh, okay. You're like, I'm actually completely out of ideas after doing the special. I have not written it. I might do an hour on my dream analysis. I might drop that on fucking CISO.
It's a drawing of you pantsless that says all you got to do is trust me, and I just circle it like idea.
Yeah, like question mark. Closer question mark.
For real, since I've recorded this thing and I want to put all these jokes to bed, check it out. It's Life Rules. It's on YouTube. It's about why life rules and what my rules for life are. I haven't had a good idea since I put it out, though. I'll tell you what, it's been a week since it's been out, but we've been editing it for a long time, and I haven't had a good idea since then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's like you're supposed to, you need the refractory period after you nut. You know, you need to like replenish. You need to get hydrated. You need to like get a little rest, maybe smoke, a sativa dominant hybrid, get the brain moving again, maybe a little cold brew and bounce back, you know? I like that feeling after you just put something out and you're like, oh, I feel like I have to like rebuild. It feels good. It feels kind of like, you know, you've gained a level in some way, like to gamify life where you're like, all right, well, now I'm a level 8 comedian, writer, ranger or whatever. And then you got to like figure out what's next and be like, OK, well, that shit's to rest. Well, you said the name of your special is Life's Good, which is also the name
life
of
rules, Life Rules.
Life Rules. I keep saying good life. I keep saying life's good. Life Rules. And I thought we were talking like, How do we live a life that rules? How do we live a life? And I like it because then you got the pun of like your life rules. Like these are my rules for life. And I like both of these, but I thought for this episode, we would just talk about like pursuing a life that rules and what life rules you'd have to follow to do that. Because this is like a wildly subjective terminology, obviously, right? Like, I mean, everything is subjective now. Even like reality is just really up to whatever interpretation you want. Like, no two people agree on the same thing that happened.
Isn't that wild? Like, your algorithm, like, you can just tell yourself you're correct based on your own algorithm, even if it's wildly wrong. Like, we all live in these interconnected bubbles, but within those bubbles, like, are impenetrable, like, lies that we tell ourselves through our phones.
You can make any statement you want and then find evidence that backs it up. Like you could you could straight up be like, bees are gay. And there'll be like at least 8 people who have like hundreds of posts about how gay bees are or whatever. And you're like, see, I told you. And it's just like, okay. Like I just see it in people's Instagram stories. It's like back to back, 2 different people having exactly opposite like points of view. I'm like, this is not something that has 2 perspectives. These are 2 different truths you guys have. Like, like I'm friends with both of you and both of you fundamentally disagree about this element of reality. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, that's fucking crazy.
It is crazy, especially because bees are gay. You can go to my Facebook group. There's hundreds of us and we share science.
Well, yeah, I didn't
research.
Mean to use such a specific example, but the poster behind you kind of reminded me. No homo. It's 2 bees like in honey.
It's so crazy, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's an interesting place to plant your flag, but it's hard to refute. You're right. Dem bees be gay.
Yeah.
Be gay.
Stand up. Come on now.
It just says be gay question mark B E E.
Oh, that's fun. That's a lot of fun.
Hey, it's your poster behind you that I'm just reading. That's all.
I know. Well, I keep putting it in my Simpsons specs and they keep turning it down. So I don't know what
that is. Yeah, no, they don't need any more people over there. The writer's room is like 40 Harvard guys. And you're like, hey, I play hockey. Can I do it? And by the way, this spec you sent is just a bumblebee poster, and it's arguably a little homophobic too, man. Okay, yeah, all right, I'll get 29 more pages coming in soon. Don't you worry. Hold out.
Don't you worry. I thought the whole point of the show was to predict the future, but I guess I'll like do some story. I don't know. Great. Dude, yeah, it's, you know what's crazy? Actually, I'm so glad to talk with you about this first special. Actually, I'd call it a mixtape because I recorded it like last year, this in March, and I cut a bunch of stuff out of it that I had to cut out, and it was 55 minutes. Now it's 36. And I don't even recognize some of my comedy from those first 6 years, like between recording it last March and like being able to do the rounds and come talk with people like you about this now, like I'm just so much better at comedy, and it feels pretty wild. You know,
Awesome. Yeah. You got to do that though. You got to put that, got to put it out. You know what I mean? And then now you have your own metric to go against. You have your own little calling card, and you'll come up with another 56 brilliant minutes that you'll cut down to 8 or whatever the algorithm says works best in the next couple of years. Like whatever gets the most view. Yeah, I'll chop it up into 60, 30 second bits, and it'll kill on TikTok or whatever.
My first arena, we just play clips of me doing crowd work on a Jumbotron. It's going to be phenomenal.
Absolutely. Kill. You don't even show up. You're actually in 40 different arenas in the same night just playing the video. Like, it's a world tour, and you never leave.
What do you do for a living? And then we just like show people from different arenas. Fucking phenomenal. Wait, like, I mean, you do so much improv still. Like, do you feel like you're still getting better, or do you just show up, go up, and crush?
Interesting. I don't know if I'm getting better, but I am trying to do different things. Improv is kind of weird like that. I guess the thing I'm trying to do most is do more stand-up. So I'm trying to like, I think I'm definitely very good at improv, and maybe plateaued 11 years ago. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a high peak, the best of improvise. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't get you much being the best. And I think I've just been floating around as like one of the best for a long time. And I'm like, it's time for me to like push my, and that's what stand up like got to me. And I was like, I have to. And so that's part of my idea to pursue a life that rules is I really enjoy making people laugh, and I really enjoy like the collaborative nature of improv. So I'm trying to bring that energy into like my stand. On a previous episode, I talked to Jesse David Fox from Vulture, who wrote the book about the state of stand-up. He has the podcast called Good One. And
he also has real hot takes about Usher as a part of the Super Bowl. So
yeah. Well, you got to disagree with him about some stuff. But I talked to him a lot about it, and he kind of coached me into getting into stand up, he's like, just do it however you want to. Like, I have the preconceived notion of what stand up is because I'm 42 and have been watching it. I started watching A&E Evening at the Improv in 1994 before like seventh grade, you know? So, like, I've been obsessed with stand up forever. And I have like this image in my head of like jokes, dry personality, you know, all this shit. And now I'm like, but that's not me, but I could probably do a not garbage 60 minutes into a microphone, but not, I wouldn't necessarily be proud of it, but I want to get to the point where a big inspiration for me is Rory Scovel. He's like one of the best working, and his style works so well for like what I want to do, you know? And like, it's part presentational, part character, feels very loose. Obviously, he gets into some scripted chunks that he's done before, improvised and whatever. So like, to me, it's just like that appeals on such a high level. Like, so that to me is, well, having goals, I think, is something I've learned will help you have a life that rules. You don't even necessarily need to achieve them. But in a world and in a profession and in a culture where it feels like you're just being reactive or just like it feels good to have at least a goal. And whether it's a physical fitness goal, I always have like a physical fitness or a career or a creative goal all kind of running at once, you know? And it's like that to me, and I'm okay if I never achieve it. Ideally I do, but the pursuit of that goal of actually feeling like I'm not on a treadmill and I'm actually on a path is like important to me, because it's easy in this business to be like, oh, I get like Groundhog's Day level of like, am I making any progress or am I just kind of like in the same spot? Not miserable, not, you know, not floundering, but just am I moving towards an interesting goal? And like that's like a big thing for me. I find that's a big thing that unlocks some happiness for me, because when the industry can make you feel stagnant or stuck, or your own life choices can make you feel that way, personal shit. And it just feels good to have something where you're like, I'm going to, even if it's like, I always say, like, even if it's as simple of like, I'm going to rewatch all of The Sopranos. Like that is like truly something you can accomplish, you know, and accomplishing something does activate the dopamine, even if it is the task is binging a show, but like doing that shit, having an enormous to-do list and checking stuff off, that works for me. Like, do you have anything, like, how do you feel about setting goals? You know what I mean? Like it, cause some people have a hard time with it, because if they underperform or don't meet their goals, they feel disappointed in themselves. But for me, it's about the journey.
I envy that. I'm coming right into hanging with you from doing therapy with my boy, Peter, Tuesdays at noon. He's my therapist, Peter. And, today was all about, how I can set, cause I set goals for everything. I have lists in my phone and I bold things as I get them done. I write out my intentions and like, I can get to one intention I wrote down in a bit. But I'm going to physical therapy for my shoulder, and I wrote down in big bold letters, like, I will blank, blank, blank. And I like, so I'm writing things constantly so that they're in my face, so that I can hopefully set those intentions and then walk through those opportunities and make them happen. There's a CIA document that I just started reading, but it's something about you can actually create your own portals into new realities. And it's CIA proven, where if you say out loud and write things down, like, I will win an Oscar one day, and then you write it down, it actually sets a reality portal for you to start walking through. And the more you say it, and the more you think it, and the more you say it out loud to other people, the stronger that Stargate gets, until hopefully one day your path led you and you led yourself to that Oscar win. And it's like a freaking CIA document.
Yo, that's crazy. That sounds like The Secret, right? Doesn't that sound kind of like The Secret from back in the day from Oprah's book club? But that shit is real. And that's something I've also learned, is like, I'm very self-deprecating and I find a lot of fun in that. But then sometimes I have interactions with people when I'm being self-deprecating that they either feel sympathy towards me, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not serious. Or even worse, they enjoy that I'm deprecating myself. Ugh. They're like, that is a bummer, huh? And I'm like, oh, no, that's not a pile-on situation. This is just me. So I've been trying to do that less. I'm not a positive self-talk guy, unfortunately. That's something I'm working on with my therapist, Lawrence.
Times varied. Sorry, I stepped on it.
Yeah, right. I cannot believe how I can never track this motherfucker down. But the setting intentions, like, cool, I called it goal setting, but setting intentions sounds even more like, because that doesn't create a binary of whether or not you achieved it, right? There's like, even just that slight tweak in language, like if you set an intention, you intend to do blank, that doesn't mean if it doesn't happen, you failed. I don't feel that way towards goals.
I'm sorry, but yes, it does. It means you failed, and it means you failed bad, and it means you're a piece of shit, and it means your life is not worth living, and everyone hates you, and you should just stay in bed and close the drapes and order Postmates, but not pick it up so it piles up outside your door.
Oh, and then come out eventually when you're over it, push your door open, tip over 12 Baja Blasts that cook, that sizzle through your patio, and now you need to get structural work done because Baja Blast ate through all the concrete that is the foundation to your shitty LA apartment that you live in.
Yeah, like, call your landlord, be like, it happened again.
Sorry, you know. I know what you said, no more Baja Blast in the driveway, but I apologize. I'm down. You got to understand, I set an intention and missed it. What happened? I said I was going to repair my shoulder injury, and I just never got to it. So I've been in a zone. I've been eating on a fucking tarp in the dark in my office, just fucking laying on the ground. I'm on round 8 of fucking gorditas. Oh
yeah,
I'm getting like turned on talking about this.
Actually, not too bad. I do have the Taco Bell app, and if you ever want to go on a Tuesday together, let's go get that secret menu that I keep hearing about.
Oh, we'll have to go after. We'll have to go after 1 p.m. when you're done with Peter.
All right.
I mean, I still have a $50. I still have $50 in credit on my Taco Bell app because Dynasty Typewriter got me a holiday gift this year of a Taco Bell gift certificate, and I've used it already, and I still have some more left. I used it to try the new chicken crispinada, and it was.
I tried that.
I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't mind it. I didn't love it. I did like the stacker, the new kind of quesadilla adjacent thing that I really liked.
I love the stacker so much. I've gotten it. Whenever I'm on the road, I just get Taco Bell anywhere I'm driving because it's like the perfect, you know, drive with your knee meal. Yeah. And that stacker is a game changer. But I felt like the crispy empanada was too cheesy and not enough anything else. It was just too rich.
Yeah, it was super rich. I appreciated the major change in texture you get from the crispinada because it doesn't taste like any of their other, it's not the same texture as anything else they have on the menu. It's like, it's almost like dessert pastry. Like it's like, you know. And so I appreciated that, but no, the stacker stays winning. Low key, the one I've really come around to liking is the grilled cheese burrito. Like I've never been a real burritos from Taco Bell guy. I'm like cheesy gordita crunch till I die. But yeah, the beefy five layer I've always enjoyed too, but I've really come around on this grilled cheese burrito, man. It's just fucking fun. It's like quesarito adjacent, you know, it's fucking. Oof. And with the app, you could do so modifications so easily. It's such a fucking dream. Yeah.
Oh. Dude, I think that's a that's
that
like
life a, fucking one of the rules, good life, man.
Wait, are you going to get a cease and desist from Mitch for this portion? Do we need to stop down on this?
Well, I think this will be coming out after their Munch Madness, which I also feel comfortable talking about because I was in the finale, the live finale. And we're recording this before the live finale at Dynasty Typewriter. So let me just say, I apologize for all those things I said. just in case I'd like to say I don't actually believe half of that stuff I said. The other half I truly believe, and I'm sorry about that.
Wow. I can't wait to go to Taco Bell with you, man. There's like some big things on the horizon. I did a thing on my Instagram. I made a little clip of the Taco Bell. They treated it like a Tim Cook iPhone release for all the new menu.
Oh,
items.
I saw that. I watched that whole thing. So
dude,
long.
I watched it too. It was so good. And it hit 15 million views on my Instagram. And so I've been trying to get them to invite me to HQ so that I can go like do some tests.
To Irvine and test some of their shit. Let's go.
Yeah. So maybe this will put us over the top and we can go.
Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America. Well, funny. Okay, so I'm going to use this to jump into a similar direction. So life rules. And one of the things that rules about life is you can eat Taco Bell and you can order it on the app and it's delicious and they're actively pursuing it being delicious. And yes, it's crazy unhealthy. But now in my early 40s, a new life rule I'm coming around to, and listeners of the pod have heard me talk about this, but I've been, you know, I always try to live in the present, but I've also been trying to consider tomorrow, consider next week, because I frequently don't. And things I've been learning of, like, if I go to bed at a decent, if in, like, I have to make these choices. And now anyone listening is like, I'm a childless 40-year-old man with a little bit of income. So, like, I get it. I'm in a very privileged space. But at night, I could easily stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning watching more shit, which is my favorite thing to do, is watch shit. Smoke weed, watch stuff. And then I've learned, but if I do go to bed at 11 instead and wake up at 7, I can still do the smoke weed and watch shit. It's just less, but I can do so much more with my life. And then if I don't eat edibles every night or don't make a mocktail every night, I can wake up a little easier. If I don't eat unhealthy, if I don't eat Taco Bell, if I eat greens and lean protein, and I can, my day is a little easier the next day. And it's like, anyone who's listening to this is like, yeah, no shit. This is something I learned when I was like 16, but I've had like a complicated relationship with food my whole life. I've exclusively sought enjoyment out of my food and not necessarily fuel and necessity. And when I do make the healthier choices, I'm starting to be able to notice the differences in how I feel. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is a tough thing for me to learn, but in order for me to do what I want to do and get what I want out of life, I need to make what seems like a sacrifice, which I've built up in my head as a huge sacrifice of like, well, no, you can't have a keef dusted joint and order Taco Bell because it's midnight on a weeknight and you have to wake up early to, you want to exercise tomorrow. And it's like, yes, I want to do that and this. And I guess there's a world where I could do both. But if I don't do this tonight, I can easily get, it's my whole day is easier tomorrow. And then you line up like 10 days where you're making healthy choices and all of a sudden you feel like fucking Goku, you know, like you've just like achieved like level 100 or whatever. You just fucking feel insane. You're like, I feel like I make so many bad choices in my life that if I go like 6 days making healthy choices, I feel like a fucking monk. I feel indestructible. I feel like I can fucking run through a wall, you know?
Heck yeah.
And have you, like, is this something that, you know, you're pursuing in your life rules? Like, is this something that you find yourself? Like, you're doing shoulder rehab at minimum, right? And that's something that, you know, like, you could blow off and just have like a hurt shoulder for the rest of your life. But if you want to continue to play hockey, something that makes you happy, or be fully mobile in your shoulder joints, this is something you got to do to take care of yourself.
Oh, Gabrus, you're fucking hilarious, man. Because as far as my shoulder's concerned, I've been told I need surgery for 3 years now, and I just started going to physical therapy like at the beginning of this year. And they're like, you still need surgery. And I'm like, I'm going to look at other options. So now I'm reading about PRP and all these other things besides surgery to help what is definitely surgery needed, where they're like, what if we inject you with stem cells and like blood? And I was like, absolutely. Let's go that route.
Why not surgery? You just don't want to be down for like, you don't want to be like dealing with the recovery of that for a few months or something, or you're like,
dude, I've had surgery when my hockey career ended, after I won a gold medal with Team USA in roller hockey. I was a really good goalie, number one in the country, and I had to have hip surgery. I have a scar from Staples from my hip, and it's like a good 8 inches long. And I had to lay in bed with a machine moving my leg back and forth so that it would have mobile, like, so it would stay mobile. And I had to like lay in bed for 2 months doing that shit. Like, surgery changes your life, man. When they open you up, it's humanizing. It's like, holy shit, this is a machine that I am inside, and this machine is breaking down. It's right. Wild. So like, thinking about life rules and like how to have a healthy life, I'm right there with you, because I'm weirdly more boring right now than ever before. Like, I'll go to bed at midnight and I'll wake up at 8:30. Like, I won't eat Taco Bell late at night, even though my favorite thing to do is lay on my side in the fetal position,
right,
glazed over, watching Iron Chef America for the 100th fucking time. Like, I hear you, dude. And there's something about me that was like, oh, you're a weak little bitch for not being able to like eat a steak at 1 a.m. while drinking wine. Like, what happened to you? But yeah, now I just have that steak at 8 p.m. and it's like still doable. Like, it's weird to think of, it's not that you're boring and weak, it's that you're just doing all the things in a way that allows you to continue to pursue your goals instead of self-destruct.
Right. It's like changing your oil on your car. No one would be like, what the fuck? Your car is weak, dude. You got to just fucking drive it. You're like, well, no, it actually like extends the life of the car. It gets me more money for my value, improves gas mileage, makes the car less nasty. And you're like, right, right, that makes total sense. But it still feels like a bitch move to fucking change your oil or stretch. Like, stretching is just something that is like, mobility is just something that I'm like, I always took for granted because I always played sports, but now without sport, without athletics to get me going, I have to like create it for myself. Yeah. And it's like, when I do it, I'm like, right, this feels good. I feel better. And then I'll go like a week of not taking care of myself, partying, like post South by Southwest, like middle seat both ways, like all this shit, hungover as fuck, drinking so many fucking Shiner Box, eating barbecue. I ate dinner from a food truck, from trucks every single night. No strikes against them, but I ain't ordering a salad from a food truck, you know? I'm not like, oh, do you have the Caesar with grilled chicken? Perfect.
Yeah. Is all the smoke coming out of the back of your truck from the romaine you're grilling? Yeah. Is that what that's from?
Are you making your own croutons, your gluten-free croutons back there? No, not at all. Oh, okay. No. It's just, it's pork quesadillas only? Okay, yeah, cool. I guess I'll just have two.
I will have that side bowl of cheese. Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely.
I think you're right. And then I come home from that, and I have, like, back pain. I didn't do anything that hurt my back. I just didn't take care of myself and slept in a different bed with different pillows and flew two ways. And I'm like, oh, I have back pain. And back pain is something that humbles me in a way, because it feels like a real old man thing. And like, just having like generic back pain is. And on my I'm 42 now. On my 37th birthday, I went, smoked a joint with a buddy who was in town. And then later on, I went to drive home and I went to get in my car. And this was back when I drove like a lower wagon, and dropping into it, I like tweaked my back, and I was like laid out for like 6 days around my middle age, you know, late 30s birthday. And I was like, what can I do to make sure this never happens again? And for me, it's like staying active, keeping the gut kind of small, trying to sleep on my back and not in like weird positions. And since I've like consciously thought about it, I've rarely had back pain until this fucking week of fucking South by shenanigans got me.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you threw your back out shitting too, so
yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, well, it's true. I gave myself pins and needles. I almost fell down. Like, I got up from the toilet and my whole left leg was numb and I didn't know. And I kind of like almost wiped out in the fuck. And I was just thinking, imagine I fall and like hit my head and I die in a South by Southwest bathroom, like with a toilet full of shit and like a video game system, like my Steam Deck playing full blast and like my vape next to the toilet. And people are just like, well, that makes total sense.
Yeah. His last words were, now that's what I call a mocktail. And then the lights went out on the thing. You walked off stage. You were like, I'm great at this shit. And then you died after doing improv with Matt Besser. Jesus Christ. Fucking hell, man. Although I will say, for everyone listening, when you and I ran into each other at South By, people immediately came up to you and were like, yo, can we get pictures taken? What up, Gabrus? We're such big fans. That was cool to see, dude.
That was pretty rad. That was pretty rad. It was also fun to see you. Like, I'm obsessed with your North Face jacket that you have with the crazy design. So it was such a, it was like a beacon of hope when I was like walking down Sixth Street, just seeing some of the drunkest, craziest assholes I've ever seen. And then turns the corner, my little stony glazy boy, and I'm like, yes, what's up, dude? Yeah.
I was pumped. I'll tell you what, that's a real, like, to a good life thing. Anytime I get to do something I'm really proud of, I try and buy myself something like real
tangible.
And
attach the memories to it in a way.
100%, dude. So that North Face jacket I bought after doing a warm up for the NHL awards last year. And I was like, yo, I'm going to
spend a puck fucker like yourself, that's a real honor.
Come on now. Connor Bedard stared blankly at me while I told jokes. Nothing feels better than that. Come on.
Dude, I like nothing more than not impressing my heroes whatsoever.
When I told them, I was so funny. I'll get back to that in a second. But like at the after party for the NHL awards, there's a goalie named Pekka Rinne who was like a Nashville hero. He almost won the cup for Nashville. He scored a goal. And I was like, hey, man, I'm such a huge fan. And he was like, thanks. I was like, I actually played hockey my whole life, too. And he's like, oh, no kidding. I was like, yeah. And I was a goalie. And he's like, wow, that's really cool. And I was like, yeah. And it was roller hockey. And he immediately like starts looking. Yep. See you later, dude.
He just all right. Like, see you around, yeah. Brother. Be good.
Yeah. Take it easy.
Roller hockey was weirdly popular. I moved from like an all black and Hispanic town to a mostly white town when I was like 13 or 14. And roller hockey was like insanely popular because this would put it at like 95 or whatever. So I was like, I had to like get roller skates and like learn roller hockey to like fit in with the kids in my neighborhood. Like,
yeah.
And then I joined a league and we played at Newbridge Park. And like, I was just like, I was not good at all. And I just like barely could even skate, but it was just a check in the box of another sport to try to see if I'm good at and find out I'm not.
Not at all. I do like when like hard things hit me. I learned I was a masochist at a very early age. You know what I mean? Like when those hard balls that you're playing in the back of the church parking lot hit you in the thigh and you're like, that's right. Like,
you're
love
like,
that
oh,
shit.
These pads are weirdly just flat. If I'm not like at the right angle, I will get hit on the inner or outer thigh. With a fucking orange plastic ball being slapshotted by like a 16-year-old who's on creatine and androstenedione for the first time.
Yeah. He's just taking hydroxycut before we play for 4 hours. Absolutely, dude.
Do you still play? Do you still strap up and play every once in a while?
I got my equipment and I think it'd be a good way to like meet people and hang out and make new friends. I would love to. I would just need to like upgrade my equipment. And
that feels like a good life rules, especially for like our specific careers. Like your social circle ends up being mostly other comics and stuff or podcasters or whatever. And opening it up to outside of that is a real treat. Like it helps gain perspective. And, you know, like I take martial arts in the park and I think I'm the only, I think a couple of people work in entertainment there, but the rest are just like Orange County weirdos and like, you know, random like absolute freaks from Reseda and shit like that. It's just like, it's good vibes. It's weird vibes, but I like it because I'm like, oh, this is unlike any, and no one even gives a fuck about me being on TV. You know what I mean? Like there's no,
yeah.
And that feels good. So, and for me, it's also a sport and it's exercise. I'm learning something new, which for me, when I do your podcast inevitably and have to talk about life rules, like constantly learning is something that I think it's something a lot of adults stop doing, is stop wanting to learn. And because you don't necessarily want to do something that you're not good at. I have a superpower. I'll brag here for a moment. I have a superpower. I have so little shame that I'm okay with being awful at something. Like I don't have, I'm like, is it humility? Is it indestructible ego? Is it the opposite of humility? Is it arrogance of like, well, I'm just learning this. So but I'm okay with being bad at something, which has been super helpful for me in life because it lets me
walk into these situations like, I'm going to go do Jeet Kune Do in the park. I'm going to go to this weird exercise class. I'm going to do a Spanish language improv show. Like, I'm not afraid at looking. And I guess it's, you know, my path in life of being an improviser and being a fucking class clown. I've been embarrassed so many times that I know it really doesn't do that much to you, you know? So like I lose the, like, and so I'm completely okay with like, yeah, I'll try this thing for the first time. I don't have to understand what's going on to be in this, like, and that's been very helpful for me. So if I had a life rule, it would be like chase new experiences or, you know, learn new things. Like I'm studying Spanish and martial arts right now. And I was doing this when I was 13 and now I'm 42 and I'm doing it again.
That's so inspiring, man. Like, I'll put that in my pocket and take it home with me. That's awesome. I could take a lot of that from you and think about it. Cause I'm the kind of dude where it's like, if I'm built from such a young age where it's like, if I don't feel like I'm excelling at every level at all times, then I'm trash. And so the idea, and that's where like my eating comes in, where I'm like, oh, I'm just going to eat this until I pass out because I don't want to deal with these feelings. I'll just keep right. eating until my nose runs. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, let's go.
Preacher choir, brother.
but the idea of just being like, you have to start somewhere. It's such a good point. And like it even bothers me when like people will be like, oh, I've never even heard of Dua Lipa or whatever. Some like boomer 60, 70 year old. Yeah. It's like, there's no reason you can't find out who these new music artists are. If you care, if you don't right. care, that's fine. But then don't complain about music these days if you're not going to like go find
listen
it
and, see and
if
find it's out. For you. Yeah. Yeah. You can definitely yeah. find something. That's funny you said. What was I just had a thought that connected the couple of things we just said. I totally understand wanting to. Oh, here's what it is. Being older now, being 42, not older, but I'm older than I was 10 years ago. Oh, bold statement. But
wow.
But when you're like 30, in your early 30s, you do feel a little old and you're like, what am I going to learn martial arts now? I'm 32. Right. If I would have done it, I'd be on year 10 of it right now and be who knows how good or how capable or what, you know what I mean? Like, and that's just something you forget where it's like, time becomes like when you're younger, you're like, oh, it'll take me 5 years to get good at this. Who has the time? And then 10 years goes by and you're like, oh, I definitely could have done something in the last. Like, I'm always like, I always wanted to learn Spanish again. I'm like, I used to be able to speak it pretty well. I want to learn it again. I finally like at 40 decide to fucking really try. And I'm like a couple years in, I'm like, why? I would have killed to be doing this for 8 extra years at this point.
Oh,
like,
wow, dude.
And it's, you're trying not to let that turn you off from learning more. You know what I mean? Like that kind of happened to me when I moved to LA. I was like, oh, I wish I moved here earlier. I wish I, you know, and it's like, no, you did it when you had to do it for a reason. Now, what else can I do? Like now that I'm 42, I'm like, do I really want to? And I'm like, well, think about it. When you're 52, you'll have done this for 10 years. Is that something that appeals to you? And it's like, once you've zoomed out of life, once you're not 26 anymore, you realize like 5 years isn't crazy long. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah. It's a lot, but it isn't an insane amount of time. 5 years, I've now lived that 8 or 9 times, you know, like that's not fucking crazy anymore. And like, that's something I have to get through my head. It was like, there is time to do the shit. And to jump to like you said about intentions and goal setting, maybe I never speak fluent Spanish, but the pursuit helps me stay fresh and learn new things. Maybe I never become really good at martial arts, but the pursuit keeps me in fitness and keeps me open-minded and keeps me meeting new weirdos or whatever. Like all that shit is victories, you know?
And what if you're like at the bar and some dude comes up to you speaking Spanish and flexing and you hit him back with your Spanish and then you two get in a fight and you put him in an arm bar and
all my specialties come together in one. Yeah.
Come together at once, dude.
Luckily, I also recently Googled baking. Hold on. Pass me the cookie dough. I'm going to while I'm down here, while I'm fucking locking this guy up, while I'm locking Pedro up here. Hola, amigo. Yeah. Venga.
Oh man. Oh, I'll tell you another one that like makes for a really good life. I love that. Like anytime we hang out or I get a chance to talk to you, You have a joy and a mindset of joy, even though I think we're both, you know, dark dudes on the inside a bit. But like that fucking mindset of being like, I'm going to just start learning Spanish today instead of being like, oh, I wish this, I wish that, and like living in the past. That mindset has pushed me through so many times where I could have like said to myself the opposite, which is also true. But instead I thought of taking it as like silver lining and opportunity and being like, oh no, this means I'm like free to do whatever I want. And through that freedom, I can learn a new skill. I can go for a big long walk and write a new stand-up bit. I can like go, I can learn how to sharpen my chef's knives by watching YouTube videos all night long and smoking weed until I know how to sharpen a knife on a stone. Like, it's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's cool to have hobbies and think of it in a positive way to grow.
Right. And it's hard to like think about it in the moment, but it's only going to make you better at what you're trying to do in real life, like stand up wise or whatever. You know what I mean? Like having these new things in life, these new events, like opening up new neural pathways, meeting new people, like all that shit is rich and not straight like, oh, this will be a good idea to do for material, but it does just make you a more well-rounded individual. Cause you know, some people who are just exclusively comedy and Hollywood heads, and That shit doesn't seem that sustainable to me. And also, if I become super successful in Hollywood, when I have my downtime, I'd love to be doing martial arts or speaking Spanish or traveling to a Spanish language country and immersing myself in the language. You know, like these are things, yeah, I want to do. And like, you can get more out of life than just look. We made our art, our passion, our careers. But we have to remember that it is still work. So you need some stuff, I think, in life that isn't work. Now, anyone who's listening to this who has like kids is like, I don't have fucking time for hobbies, dude. I'm like, okay.
Totally.
But parenting is work, but it ain't your career. So that's like a different vibe. You know, you're getting something that isn't straight career bullshit, and that's important.
And I think that's so dangerous, man. Like, I'll just talk frankly about my parents. Like, they poured their identities into us. And I saw them when we moved out of the house and we went to college and we became our own human beings, that they had to figure out who the fuck they were again. And like, that's a real thing. That empty nest syndrome is real, where it's like, you are your kids for so long, but then who are you once, yeah, you're not that thing anymore? It can get messy real quick, man.
Weirdly enough, and this probably all ties together in some dark way, but my dad was a martial artist like in his 50s before he passed away.
Here.
Yeah. He signed up for Taekwondo after dropping me and my brothers off at it like every Sunday for like a year. He's like, fuck it, I'm just going to start taking the adult class later. And then like eventually I'm going to my dad's second degree black belt test after I've quit martial arts because, you know, it's the 90s. And I'm like, I think it might be gay. And I'm, yeah, like, you know, or like I got made fun. I got called Chunk Norris once and I was like, fuck this, I quit. And then I'm going to my dad's black. It's a great line. I now own it. I now say it's my nickname, but it brutalized me in sixth grade. But now I am Chunk Norris. John Gabris is Chunk Norris.
Oh, instead of like lighting the boards with flames for you to break through them, they just cover them in like glaze and frosting.
Yeah. I get sprinkles and frosting and I just blast through it and like rainbow funfetti goes everywhere. The
licorice black belt. Okay. Anyway, what were you saying, John?
You have reached the level of Twizzler. But yeah, like I found so much richness outside of my career. And then having these little things of like, oh, I want to get scuba certified and then scuba dive when I go on vacation. And then like you do that once and you're like, wow, this is a fucking dream. This is a real treat. And like, that's just shit that can keep happening. And you can do this for yourself. And I have issues where I feel like I'm undeserving of things that would make me happy because I didn't achieve some arbitrary metric that I have, you know, like, I've said this analogy too many times before, this anecdote too many times, but like I always wanted to learn to scuba dive, but I was like, I have to wait till I really get my career in order. And then I was like, all right, I'm 38. I don't know like what in order even means anymore. I think it's okay to just go get scuba certified. And I'm like, if I would have done this when I was 28, I could have had 10 more years of scuba trips in my, but no, I didn't think I deserved it then. So like, there's a little bit of an element of like, I have like this weird thing. I'm like, and I think being a freelancer or whatever is like, you said like, oh, once I did this thing, I bought myself something nice. Like that's the positive spin on that. But the negative spin on that, or the pessimistic look, is like, I can't buy myself this until I get a gig that gives me the money for it. You know what I mean? Like, and that starts to be like, now I'm tying my own happiness into this job that is a subjective art form of like, I hope the casting agent thinks I look right to be the guy who passes Andy Samberg a hot dog in this action movie. And it's like, if so, then I'll finally buy myself that jacket I really want. You know, it's like, that's like a crazy headspace I'm so capable of getting myself in that is fucking depressing and self-limiting in such a way too.
Especially when then the thing that you do deserve is that Taco Bell at midnight that makes you feel like shit. And that's the only thing you deserve, right?
Right.
And like not the...
Exactly. Yeah. And you're like, this is where I'm at. This is what I should be having, blah, blah, blah. Like, and it's a fucking crazy world out there, man. But like your podcast, like your premise is like life does rule. You have to allow it to rule. Right. Cause it's like, go through the portal of happiness, go through the CIA portal of happiness rather than the CIA portal of second guessing everything you do in your life.
100%. Like, check this out. Hold on. I'll show you. I brought it up. I hope I have it. Oh, yeah. Is this it? Oh, this is a different one. So another like life one is you got to let it go. You got to let it go so it can come back to you. Like, I think that's a really good thing for making life kind of rock a bit. So like two things that come to mind for that. I was saying earlier how I wrote on my physical therapy paper something I wanted so I could walk through that portal. I can't find that because it's in my closet, but I also wrote it on my comedy store lineup. And I wrote, I will get Netflix as a joke festival. I will get Netflix as a joke festival. And I wrote it all over this. I wrote it all over my physical therapy form, all these things. And then I auditioned for it thanks to LinkedIn. And I didn't get the introducing, which is like new faces. And I was devastated because I like poured myself into it. And I was like, motherfucker, fuck this, fuck that. Like Netflix is a joke, is the biggest deal. It's the big, what am I going to be in Los Angeles and be here in May and everyone but me is a part of this festival? And then my friend Tina was like, you just got to let it go, dude. You just got to let it go. And I let it go. And 2 days later, I get an email that's like, hey, would you want to do this headlining set for it in May? We'll send an offer if so. And now I'm like waiting on an offer from Live Nation to do an actual set at Netflix as a joke festival. But it's because I like let it go. And the thing I thought I wanted, but that I didn't get, that was devastating, actually wasn't the door I was supposed to walk through. It was a different one. I just had to like accept it. I couldn't change it. And then
to keep the door analogy going, if you stood at the closed door waiting for it to open, and it never did, you miss out. But if you keep walking down the hallway, you may find another door. And this door led into a different room, but it scratches the same itch and maybe is even better for you in the long run. That's exciting.
And I think that ties into like, I don't know if a lot of different types of people listen to High and Mighty. I know like me and all my friends do, but like, I think that goes for promotions. I think that goes for like relationships. I think it goes for everything. Like you can't just stand in front of those closed doors, dude. Like they're never going to unlock themselves. So
you've got to be open to it. You've got to be open to what the potentials, you know what I mean? Like if you're on a narrow lane of what you want in life, like you don't get it, you're setting yourself up. But like, if you keep your head on a swivel and see what else is out there. And like when I first came up in comedy, I wanted to be like a talk show host or something like that. And then I was like, oh, this is never going to happen for me. I guess I'll be like a sitcom actor and be in comedy movies. And then that never happened for me. I mean, it did to like small degrees. And then here I am. Eventually, I find this thing called podcasting, a thing I hadn't even heard of when I decided what I wanted to do in life. And then turns out I'm pretty good at it. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm a talk show host.
Dude,
yes, it's not. It's not Conan. I'm not doing fucking weird sketches. I don't have a writing staff of 10 hilarious people working with me. But I am sort of doing what I want. And if I stayed on one path just waiting and never decide to get into podcasting because it's not exactly what I wanted to do, I would never have. And then the reason I got into podcasting, the reason I went on my first podcast, is because I ain't afraid to look dumb. I ain't afraid to fail. So I walk in and go, all right, Comedy Bang Bang, I don't know you, Aukerman, at all. Here's my dumb idea for a character named Gino Lombardo. For people who don't know, Gino is a character I've been doing on Comedy Bang Bang for years. It's the first character I've ever did on the show, and it's stuck. I'm in year 10 of doing Gino. I've only ever done it. Like, I came in with a dumb idea, and the character stuck. I did 30 episodes of his own series. Like, all because I was just like, fuck it, I'll try something. And then it ended up working for me. And that got me to get some fans who were like, you're good on podcasts, you should have your own. And then Jake and Amir reach out and are like, hey, we're launching a podcast company. And I'm like, hey, if you guys are doing it, I'll jump on. And now here I am, just being open to new shit, not afraid to fail. And honestly, I'm not doing this. High and Mighty hasn't changed my life, but High and Mighty lets me talk to someone like you or like Alice Wetterland or any of my other guests for an hour, and talking to a friend for an hour, or talking to someone you're interested in or have a shared common interest in or has something interesting to say is a life rule for me, is like talking and listening. I know listeners of this podcast are like, listening? You mostly talk. I'm like, okay, fair. But like, for me, this has afforded me like a full new facet of my life that makes me happy. Could I do High and Mighty as my career? No, unless I lived in like my mom's house, maybe, and I just spent my money only on weed and snacks, and I couldn't.
Who are you, really... Mike Mitchell's alter ego? Come on,
fucking wish. I mean, I think I might be. I'm actually. If Mike Mitchell and Nick Weiger got into the fly machine together by accident, I would come out the other side.
Yeah. Because
I actually am like weirdly like both of those guys. Like, and it's, and I think that's why I get along so well with them, is that I fall somewhere on the middle, in the middle between them. Like, I'm a big fat, like, oaf, but I'm also like sort of on the spectrum and also like, anxious about details and shit. Like, I just really line up with both of them. Me and Weiger dress the same. Me and Mitch look the same. Like, it's there's a lot going on there. There's a lot to unpack.
Hey, would you say, to get like therapized a bit, that Gino Lombardo would be that alter ego? Because he's an intern, right? Like, he's never gotten a promotion in his life. He just, you know, head down is like, I'm just going to do the work. And it never grows, never changes, never learns anything. It's very interesting to have this conversation and have him come up at this time. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is kind of, it is sort of like, maybe Gino Lombardo's who I am if I kept my mind closed for like 20 years, you know? Like,
Totally.
I mean, Gino Lombardo is a lot of people I know from Long Island, is what it really is. I guess he's like who I want to make sure I don't end up as. But and some of those guys are the funniest fucking guys I've ever met.
I mean, yeah, I love that character. I wanted to ask you another one for like what makes a good life, because I'm thinking in May when I get back from the road about getting a cat. Because I think I'd really love to have an animal in my life. Like, I think that makes life a better thing, too. And I wanted to ask you how it's been having your guy there, the co-host you have.
Dude, I agree. A pet. I'm a dog guy, but I'm pro cat as well. Honestly, a cat is a real low lift, like, as a pet. And having just something else to care about will, like, get you someone else, a living thing, will, like... Yeah. Get you out of bed in those depressing moments. Like we were joking before, but I can't lay in my bed with the blinds closed and eat food all day and like do nothing, because Arthur needs to go outside to go to the bathroom. Arthur needs me to get up and feed him. And I have to do that for him. That's our contract. I brought him into my home. I have to feed him. I have to walk him. No matter how depressed I am, he doesn't know. Arguably, he does frequently know when I'm depressed. He acts differently when I'm depressed. He spends more time with me when I'm depressed, which is really interesting. But also, I know I'm like, Why? And then just sometimes all you need is that kick up, that kick in the ass. Like, look, I'm not an expert on mental health, but I know when I've been depressed, it feels impossible to get up and walk and get some sunshine or go do one minor task. But achieving it does start to feel like you push the depression back into their cave like a little bit. And so Arthur kind of forces that out of me. A cat will force you to be like, well, I got to put out food for fucking Yami or Yager or whatever the fuck you name your cat.
It's probably going to be something like that. Yeah. Meowio Lemieux.
Oh, yes. Here yes! we go. Yes. Mario Lemieux.
Lemieux.
Mario Lemieux is fun because then you can at least call the dog Mario. You know, like you don't have to say something complicated, but her full name could be Lemieux. But like, having a living thing look at you will remind you that you do exist and you are a thing and you are a person traveling through this world. You know, like I know when you're like, when I'm deep into depression, it feels like no one even knows I'm alive. You know what I mean? And it's like, no one even cares. And then all of a sudden the dog comes in and is like, look, I found this. And you're like, well, you know I'm here, man. That's right. Yeah, like you acknowledge me. Like, holy shit, let's go. Let's go outside. Let's get some fucking sunshine. If I had to throw a life rule out here coming down the end that I didn't know about earlier, I took it for granted. Getting time outdoors.
Ooh, yeah.
Whether
sun
or not.
Sun that perineum, dude.
Yes, yeah, sun the perineum. Fresh air. In getting out of your, getting natural light. Fresh air, even if it's cold, even if you live in a cold place, just getting outside is crucial because it's easy in modern society to be like, whoa, I never have not gone outside for a day because I always have a dog. I've had a dog for 10 plus years. So you can't get away with not going outside. And I've realized like, that's a fundamental thing is like getting a little bit of outdoors time every day. And then getting macro doses of outdoors of like going camping or going on a hike or sitting at the beach for a few hours. That shit is like fucking drugs. You know what I mean? And then add drugs to these situations.
Yo.
Yeah.
Big yes.
Eat the albino penis envy fucking mushroom while you're on the beach living the fucking dream. Man. I know
I got a bag of them right now and I cannot wait to go for a real long hike and gobble them down.
Oh, hell fucking yeah, dude.
Yeah. What do you got there? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm feeling a couple of cuties.
dude, those are gorgeous. Yeah. Munch those down.
I'm holding on to them for camping because the weather's turning soon. We'll be able to go camping soon around in the SoCal area. And I'll eat a big, big old boy and disappear into the fucking ether. Go into the emotional ether.
Yeah, I love those. We should start calling mushroom strains like something like Thanos snap.
Power stone.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I feel like to end this up, we should just both pull our faces off and we're each other's therapists.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, how this should end.
That's right. I'm Peter at 2 p.m. these days.
What's your dude's name? Lawrence?
Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never called him Larry. I've always called him Lawrence or bro. I always go like, bro, I'm telling you, I am depressed.
Still keeping it up. Heck yeah. These waves are not big swole. Yeah, dude.
Dude, it is not gnarly in my life. And gnarly is good in this case. Okay, hold on. Yeah, I should choose a different verb, a different adjective, not even verbs. Whoops. Glazer, tell the shitheads where they can find your mixtape and your pod and anything else you want to plug.
Oh, shitheads. I love ya. Check out my first little comedy mixtape, Life Rules. It's on, at this point, it'll be on like Spotify and Sirius and all the places you can listen to stuff. It's also on my YouTube at Glazer Boo Hoo Hoo. I'm also starting my own podcast called Life Rules, where John, you'll be on it. Or maybe we'll just drop this episode eventually and just call it.
Yeah, you get a free thing, one. You
know? And then I'm on tour with the Gateway Show all April. And the Gateway Show is great because the first half of the show, we do sober sets. And then we take an intermission and get ripped out of our minds and then do stoned sets. It's my favorite thing to do. And I'll be doing that all over the country. So you can find those tour dates on my Instagram at GlazerBooHooHoo as well. And then I don't know as of yet, but I'm doing Netflix as a Joke Fest in May if you live in Los Angeles. I should have a new, hopefully at least a half hour by then. Jesus
Hell
Christ.
Yeah. Get cranking. Yeah. We'll have a link in the show notes to your special. So if listeners, you can just take out the phone right now, click on it and check it out. As for me, you know my shit, Action Boys. We have free episodes at free.actionboys.biz or actionboys.biz to sign up for the Patreon. Throw a few shekels, keep me in a karate class, and enjoy listening to some movie talks. And also 101 Places to Party Before You Die, still on max as of now, as of record.
And change your fucking oil. You're not a pussy. Just change your oil.
It doesn't make you a pussy. Change your oil. Take care of your shoulder. You know, drink water, get outside, get the right amount of sleep. Sleep is key, you know, like a lot of stuff, a lot of basic ass shit being thrown around here. But this is the stuff that works for me to help pursue a life that rules.
Hell yeah, dude. Thanks for having me, man. It's great to hang with you.
Life rules, brother.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!